This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and you're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Johnny. Good to be back on the podcast with you.
It's a shorter working week, both this week and next week, but plenty to talk about. Let's start with the dollar. And there might be some confused listeners out there wondering why the dollar is still up, bearing in mind we've heard quite a lot about interest rate cuts coming soon. What is it about the dollar that's keeping its price high?
Yeah, Johnny, that's a really good question, because right now, market participants who are maybe newer to trying to understand the full macro story, understandably, would be confused by this. I imagine that, you know, years back, this would have been just, I probably would have just chalked it up as all the markets are just crazy and they make no sense. But I've stayed involved in this stuff for some time now. And unfortunately, I know the real reason is not just as easy as that. A lot of times, and before I jump into this, that is a common thought process. A lot of times people will write off the markets as just manipulated or crazy. But I would actually advise listeners to think about the markets as very, very intelligent. And it's almost scarily intelligent at sometimes, because what's really happening here is that the dollar index is up. Not because necessarily the purchasing power of the dollar is looking super attractive. And it's all about relativism here. Because when you're looking at the dollar index, and feel free to do this up on your own on your own time, I would encourage listeners to go look up the breakdown of how the dollar index is calculated. And what you'll see is that other currencies play a factor on how it is priced. So if the euro or the pound or the Japanese yen, if they look weak compared to the dollar or strong compared to the dollar, that is what actually makes the dollar index rise or fall. So understandably, somebody who is looking at the dollar index and seeing it go up when we just heard that rate cuts are still on the table for this year would be confused at first, until you understand the full global picture, where we see Europe and the UK especially seeing the economies there really struggle. We're seeing it in the US, but it's much less, you know, kind of pressing as it is in other places, especially Europe and the UK. We heard last week, everybody talked about, of course, everything Jerome Powell, everything, you know, Fed. But if you listened closely, if you're a currency trader, what we heard was that the ECB and the Bank of England are preparing to really shift gears and look to be dovish. At least that's what we are seeing coming. And so that shift makes the dollar suddenly look more attractive than those places. Because again, the US economy might be hanging in there a little bit bigger. And when we first jumped on the podcast, Johnny, you mentioned, you know, is it just about the US economic strength? And I think that that's a good observation, right? If that US economy does stay, continue to be the outperformer in the picture, the dollar not necessarily looks strong because, oh, we're going to keep high interest rates, but perhaps our cutting process is more gradual than Europe or the UK, where they might see a little bit more aggressively cutting interest rates. Right now, I'm looking at the euro. The euro is trending lower on the daily chart. We can see here trading around 1.0818, came down here from over just under 1.10 recently. It traded as high as that, you know, high 1.09s. So it's coming down here recently. Same thing for the pound. The pound has really seen a sell-off here. It was looking really strong up to 1.2890, come down all the way down to 1.2626, which is, you know, selling off pretty aggressively, a real kind of shift in the narrative. And Johnny, you mentioned this just as we were jumping on. It's kind of a change in the story in the last year, right?
Indeed. Everybody was saying that the Fed will cut first, and we're seeing the reverse in action, although, of course, things could change. What about the timing of the cuts? What are markets predicting at the moment?
And that's the thing, is it's all about now at this point, how soon and how quickly are they going to get interest rate, the bank rates lower? You know, with the central bank here in the US, the Fed, they've still outlined, doubled down on the idea that rate cuts are coming. And so one thing I would say is that if you're confused by the dollar index, if you want to just kind of get a little bit more of a look at the US-centric part of the picture, take a look at like the 2-year yield, which has been dropping pretty hard. That is kind of the bond market's expectations for rate cuts. You can also see that in the Fed watch tool that we reference often on the show here. We talk about the Fed funds rate expectations from the bond market's perspective, from the stock market's perspective. And so if you're looking at the dollar index, that could be a little bit confusing simply because that's also cross-examining with Europe and the UK. So I thought that was a really important point to make here today because, again, we are expecting rate cuts. That's not changing drastically in the last couple of days. It's just that the counterparts, the currency war kind of going on, is also seeing other ones looking to cut sooner as well.
Indeed. In fact, we are getting some economists demanding a cut immediately on this side of the Atlantic from the Bank of England, but I doubt that's going to happen. It looks like May at the moment, but as I said before, things could change. As I said, it is going to be a shorter working week, though strangely on Friday, I know you have a public holiday, we do as well here in the UK, but Jerome Powell is going to be talking on what should be his day off.
Yeah, right. And I pulled up what he's speaking about because, of course, in certain things, he'll have a panel or a press conference is usually the more interesting events just because those are not necessarily always prepared remarks. But I pulled up what he's going to be doing. He's in a moderated discussion at the Macroeconomics and Monetary Policy Conference in San Francisco. Audience questions are expected, though. And that is where usually if you get some sort of off-the-cuff response, or that's what market participants obsess over when they listen to what he has to say. That could be market moving, although he may say nothing, he may say something, let something slip that gives the market a clue. But, you know, I've been doing this podcast for a while, and throughout the duration, for the most part, the Fed, Jerome Powell and the members of the committee are pretty transparent in the last few years. They've been pretty clear about like what their goals are, about what they're going to do. It's, you know, a surprisingly predictable Fed in some ways. Now, of course, the numbers change, but they keep saying, you know, we're just remaining data dependent. So essentially the numbers that we're seeing, the Fed is looking at them too and kind of making decisions off of that. But you also mentioned the other big one on Friday, we have core PCE numbers coming out, which are useful data points, but we've talked about this many times in the past. We've already had CPI and PPI for the month of February. And so the PCE has a lot of the same inputs as those do, the CPI number and the PPI number. So a lot of times the market kind of already sees most of the data that's in it. That being said, if there's any surprises there, still could be very market moving. And I believe that the FX market will still be open on that day, but I think some stock markets will be closed.
Finally, Nick, I wanted to ask you about yields and why they are dropping at the moment.
Yeah. So if you look at today's 20-year yield, the 10-year yield, and I'm talking about the US, of course, the 2-year yield, they're dropping really aggressively. And for aspiring homeowners, that's not so bad. But what is driving that? That's the question. Well, perhaps it is just the market starting to believe that, okay, rate cuts are coming. The question then becomes, and the excitement comes out of, or the lack of excitement, could be fear, is are we going to see rate cuts? Are the Fed seeing something coming down the pipeline that is a little bit more concerning simply than just inflation dropping? Is it the other side of the boat that's got a leak in it, right? Is job, are unemployment rates expected to go up? If we're seeing other places in the world see economic deterioration, could that be, you know, something bigger picture coming for the U.S.? That is where the question will become more interesting, is are yields just dropping because, oh, inflation is cooling, or are yields dropping too because people are thinking the Fed might need to step in to help out the economy? That will be the interesting story. And one area of the market that's been interesting to follow in all of that picture has been gold. If gold were to close right now, what's interesting is that it would actually be trading at the time of recording this, that is, it would be an all-time closing high against the US dollar, which is really interesting. The spot price is trading around $2,192. Although this is not an all-time intraday high, this would be an all-time closing high. And it is right in line with what you would expect with dropping yields, because perhaps this rise in gold is just, oh, we think rate cuts are coming, but perhaps it's also, we think rate cuts are coming because there could be some economic struggle ahead. So it's an interesting area of the market. It's one that I've watched really closely, is watching yields and gold here recently. And with it putting in all-time highs. What this usually will preface, Johnny, is it usually means that the headlines are going to start talking about gold constantly again and then go dormant when it goes back down. But whenever it is hitting all-time highs, that is, of course, a big story for all the news outlets.
And I remember when gold was a mere $500, but that's because I'm old.
Well, that's okay. I don't remember that, but you know what? That's okay. And that's a historic thing, because I bet you, you know what, Johnny, there will be a point where we look at $2,000 gold and perhaps it's a much different place in the future, whether up or down. But it's one of those things with gold over the long term, they continue to print currency. It's pretty common knowledge that just like stocks tend to drift up over the long term, gold does too. Of course, it doesn't always go up, and there's certainly periods where gold really underperforms. But over the long term, it will probably look back in 10 years and my opinion would be, wow, gold was only trading at $2,000 an ounce. Just like you mentioned, 500, 2,000 will be the low at some point too.
Okay, Nick, thank you so much for joining us today. Have a very good long holiday weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny. Talk to you next time.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.